Sahana bhavatu, sahana punaktu, sahaviryam karavavahai, tejasvinavadhitamastu ma vidvishavahai. Om shanti shanti shanti. Om tat sat. We're in Kathopanishad, the first chapter, second section, Adhyaya 1, Vali 2. And I'm going to be looking a little bit more on verse 24, and then we'll do 25 and perhaps 26. There is one part of 24 that I wanted to complete. Let's chant that. Let's chant that again. Just repeat after me. Na virato duscharitat, na virato duscharitat, na shanto na samahitah, na shanto na samahitah, na shanta manaso vapi, na shanta manaso vapi, prajnane nainam apnuyat, prajnane nainam apnuyat, na aviratah duscharitat na ashantah na ashantah na ashantah na asamahitah na ashanta manasaha pa api prajnanena enam apnuyat. So this we did more the most of the top line. I'm just going to reiterate that quickly. There's just one thing in the second line that I wanted to go into a little bit more. So the basic sentence here, you have these negatives of avaritaha duscharitat, the one who is not restrained, has no control over their adharma, over their negative prohibited actions. And then also then the ashantaha, one who doesn't have any peace over the sense organs, no control of the sense organs. Asamahitaha, the one who doesn't have any shama, any control over their mind. So what the ashantaha, first ashantaha has to do with dhamma, with the sense control of the sense organs. The second one, asamahitaha, they don't have any shama, the mind doesn't have any natural absorption or shanti. And then the ashanta manasaha va api, this is the one I wanted to look at. This says, and even for the one whose mind is not tranquil. Exactly what that means we'll look at. Because even if they don't have shama, and then they also don't have any tranquility in their mind, such a person, now all of these negatives, you see each one has a negative, na avaritaha, na ashantaha, na asamahitaha, na ashanta manasaha. That negative goes with this last part, prajnanena enam apnuyat. Such a person, can't gain, is unable to gain this knowledge, this self, through prajnana, through knowledge. It's not possible because their mind is not available. So the one that I thought was so beautiful here is what Shankara does with the ashanta manasaha in the second line. What he says is, even if, say, the person is not able, does not have the samahita chittaha, they're not single-pointed, they can't really focus their mind. So, but he also says, they also don't have any shanti, the mind is active and tense, in fact, because they have a desire for the fruit of that samadhanam, of having a mind which can be focused or which can absorb itself. And so because there's a desire for the result of that ability to focus, they also don't have any shanti just because of that. And in fact, their mind becomes very, very active. Vyaprita-chittaha, it says. Vyaprita-chittaha. It means the mind is very active because it's trying to accomplish something. What it's trying to accomplish is to become absorbed, to gain an absorbed mind, as though the absorbed mind is what we're actually looking for. So that's something important that I'm going to talk about in a minute. By the word prajñānena, Shankara says brahma-vijñānena. Brahma-vijñānena means, or prajña means, by that direct recognition of anam, this atma, as Brahman. It's not intellectual. It's not that your mind's not involved, but there's the actual recognition on the part of the mind having differentiated itself from my own presence that has always been there, has always been me. But when that differentiation takes place, my own presence is self-evident. With the differentiation that is brought about by knowledge, what is left is the self-shining presence of myself, which has always been there, always will be there, has never not been there. It's just I recognize, because of the mind's differentiation, subject-object differentiation, my self-experience is something which is self-evident and not dependent upon the mind, which is objectified, and the sense organs objectified, and the body objectified. That's the brahma-vijñānena. I recognize myself as self-evident, not objectifiable. I just simply am. Like in the meditation, sometimes when we say, just be yourself. Be yourself means I'm not dependent on my mind or the buddhi to be focused on me. That doesn't make any difference. But the buddhi is focused on whatever it's focused on. Once that vijñānam is there, the viveka, that discrimination between me and all things, the buddhi, the manas, the sense organs, the objects in the world, all every experience without exception that I have, once these things have been objectified, then myself, you know, is just, because of that differentiation that takes place on the part of the mind, because the mind is the one that has been suffering from ignorance, when that differentiation takes place, then the self, me, that has always been, is no longer identified, misidentified with all of these objects of experience that come and go. And so I am simply left as I am. See what I mean? There's no need for the mind or the buddhi or the sense organs or for any of the pramanas. There's no need for anything to look, the buddhi to look at me, to have a relationship with me, to say, oh yes, I'm still here. It doesn't need any, none of that is necessary anymore. Once I know myself, what has happened is the knowledge, self-knowledge, has differentiated all of these objects of experience that come and go from the self, from my own self-experience, which is not dependent upon any of them. It's not dependent upon any of them. And for the one who has recognized this, there is no need, or your mind doesn't even go to this idea of wanting the fruit of samadhanam, or the fruit of meditation, or the fruit of concentration, or the fruit of a meditative experience. I am not working for a meditative experience. I am the meditative experience. I am that. And I'm never not that. So when is there a time when the very swarupa, the very nature of yourself, is not the meditative experience? So this working for that experience is something on the part of the mind who thinks that there's a self to be reached, to be experienced, whereas in fact, the nature of yourself is ever-present, is self-evident, and so you are the nirvikalpa samadhi. You are the non-dual, changeless self-experience. The Buddha does not give you that. The Manas doesn't give you that. Your mind doesn't give you that. You are that. You are that. And the mind has to, and the Buddha, and the body, etc., has to be differentiated from that. They don't have anything to do with it, with giving you that. The knowledge has to do with, it's really called, the self-knowledge is really called ajnana nivritti. Self-knowledge is ajnana nivritti. It is the nivritti, the negation, the destruction of self-ignorance. That is much different than the gain of a self. Like say in the world, I have to gain an experience, to gain knowledge of something that's other than me. My mind has to gain that experience for me to know it. If I don't gain the experience, that experience isn't there. But in terms of self-knowledge, there is no gain of me. I am already completely present. So the problem is not one of gaining knowledge. It's the problem is one of removing ignorance. So the self that I'm trying to gain is completely present. The self-experience that I am is completely present. For the jnani, there is no need or inclination or desire for any fruit or any pola of concentration or meditation or single-pointedness and all of this type of thing. That means that my mind's got a job to do. My mind has no job to do. But for that to be, the mind to be available for that ajnana nivritti, for that removal of ignorance, and just allowing myself to be me, with that differentiation on the part of the mind, then Shankara says, that knowledge really can't be gained by people who don't have control of their mind or their sense organs, or they're still working for a meditative experience. It's not available for that. But he says, whereas the one who has given up a dharma and what we call these prohibited actions, the type of behavior that goes against dharma, the one who has given those things up, the one who has given up and has controlled their senses, the impulses of the sense organs, has given that up, that dhamma is there, and the one who whose mind is absorbed, you know, the mind it, absorbed means here the mind, the sama chitta, it means chittaha sama, samahita chittaha, that means that the mind is not chasing after anything. It just sits quietly, does what needs to be done. It's with Ishvara. I'm not trying to... the jivatvam is not there. The jivatvam rises its head always with the raga dvesha. So the one who has a mind that is just sitting absorbed in my own being or absorbed in Ishvara, that's the mind of a jnani. I'm with Ishvara. The body, mind, sense organs are with Ishvara. I'm walking through Ishvara. I get to enjoy having this body, mind, sense organs, which is part of Ishvara. And so I just play my role to the best of my ability. And I be myself, which is Brahman. So that's the samahita chittaha. And then samadhana palat api upashanta manaha. That means for the one who is not after any type of experience, including meditative experience. Because if you're after a meditative experience, you have to be saying, I'm after something that is not here right now. Right? I'm after a meditative experience means I'm after something that's not here right now. That's not going to be me. Right? I'm here. So it's not about meditative experience. I don't have any desire for that at all. I want self-knowledge. That's mamukshu. I want to know myself. I don't want to have an experience, whether it be a meditative experience or some sort of an experience within samsara, which a meditative experience also is within samsara. That's not interesting to me because it's time-bound. So I would like self-knowledge. When I have self-knowledge, when that's all taken care of, then all of these experiences can be what they are. I don't care. But what I want is self-knowledge, and I'm not going to get self-knowledge through the gain of an experience or waiting for some sort of a pulla. Pulla means a result. Let me meditate in order to gain a result. To gain a result that is not already present is not going to have anything to do with me. And so that's the tremendous problem with that. So he says it so beautifully. So now he says, this type of person who has that viveka, then he says, that person, that one, that type of person will gain will gain this atma, will gain the self, prajnaneta, by means of knowledge, not by means of experience. The experience is already here. So it's by means of knowledge. So then he says, what does he mean by that? Acharyavan, the one who has a teacher, you know, that person, atmanam prapnoti, that person gains this self, yathoktam, as has been said, as we have said before, prajnanena, by means of knowledge. So this is just, I don't know how Shankara could put it more beautifully, or to really understand what this verse means. This amazing verse. When in the meditation we say something like, after invoking the inner friend or whatever way we're doing this, we say gently, gently let the buddhi just shift its focus to your own presence. That is in order to redirect the mind just toward your own being rather than toward something that can be objectified. Okay? But then that's not where you want to end up. You have to make that shift. Gently focus on your own being just to redirect your mind toward your own self, so it becomes more like a mirror than something that mirror facing inward rather than a mirror facing outward. But then you have to make that shift to the one, to me, the one who illumines the mind, the one who is who is self-evident, self-shining, who always is exactly the same. Whether the buddhi is looking outward, inward, up, down, meditating or not meditating, myself remains exactly the same as the luminary, as the conscious, self-evident being, you know, because of which the mind, the buddhi, is known. And so that I have to, hopefully by saying such words as just be yourself, it makes a subtle shift, releasing the buddhi from any type of responsibility, as though it's focusing on you is giving you your self-experience. The focusing of the buddhi on you is not giving you your self-experience. It's just quieting down the buddhi and directing it toward you. But it has nothing to do with your self-experience. The self-experience is self-evident. And so when I say just be yourself, that's what's being pointed out. To be able to do that, to be able to even follow any of this, he says, Yama says, what type of a mind can possibly understand all of this? The mind has to have a certain dharma, a certain equipoise, a certain punya that gives it the shanti in order to just be yourself. It's an amazing thing. It's very rare. Mumukshus are very rare. That's why they're always praised, and try to take good care of them. Tremendous punya brings a mind to that type of space, that type of inner peace that can allow for this knowledge to take place. So with that, the last verse, we go into the last verse of this second volley. So let's repeat after me. Yasya brahma chakshetram cha, yasya brahma chakshetram cha, ube pavet o ube pavat odanaha, ube pavat odan, ube. Sorry, I've got a little typo here, I think. Hang on. Okay, I got it. Yasya brahma chakshetram cha, yasya brahma chakshetram cha, ube bhavata odanaha, ube bhavata odanaha, mrityur yasyopasechanam, mrityur yasopasechanam, kaita veda yatrasaha, kaita veda yatrasaha. Yasya brahma cha kshetram cha, ube bhavataha odanaha, mrityur yasya upasechanam, kaha itta veda yatra saha. So the last quarter of the verse, kaha itta veda yatra saha. He says, who? So Yama saying, you know, who itta, who in this manner veda, who is able to know this? Who is able to know this in this manner? This, who can know this? For whom Brahma know means what type of a person can know that one, saha, that one in whom? What? The one for whom Brahma, yasya Brahma, chakshetram cha, for whom the Brahman, the Brahmana, and the Kshatriya, for whom both the Brahman, both the Brahmana and the Kshatriya, ube both, bhavataha odanaha, are food. In other words, who is able to know this? Who is able to know this? That to know that one, for whom both the Brahmana and the Kshatriya are odanaha. Excuse me. Odanaha. Odanaha means food. It means cooked rice. Okay? And then he says, and mrityuhu yasya upasechanam, and for who death, mrityu, Lord Death, is a pickle, is the pickle. Okay? So who on earth is able to know this? Say you can take this in different ways. The Brahmakshetra Sarvadharma Vidharake Api Sarvatrana Bhute Ube. So he says, the Brahmanas and the Kshatriyas are the upholders of Dharma, the Vedic Dharma, right? They're the ones who are the followers of the Vedas, the priests, the priests and the protectors of Dharma. And yet, for the Atma, for the Self, they're food. Right, and then death itself is just an afterthought, right? An afterthought, because death is only a pickle. He's not Lord Death is only a pickle. He's not even the main course at all, right? So imagine the condition of the mumukshu, the one who follows. Mumukshu has to be somebody who, because of their mumukshutvam, really, you have to say, comes from their shanti, which comes from the dharma, which comes from punya. You can't have shanti without dharma. There's no such thing. Think of an adharmi having shanti. He would have to be on drugs or something. It's not possible. So the shanti that's required And the inner space that's required to get this knowledge requires a tremendous amount of punya, a tremendous amount of dharma. The person has to be a dharmanishta in order to have the space that will allow this knowledge to take, to allow the knowledge to take place. And so for the dharmanishta, the brahmanas, and with just within the culture, the brahmanas themselves and the kshatriyas, who are the protectors of dharma, they themselves are completely eaten by, right? They themselves are completely swallowed, you know, by the atma. And death itself is just simply like a little pickle for the self. So who is it then? Who is it that's going to get this knowledge? This is such an interesting little twist here. How is it possible for it even to be known? And who would be the one to know it? It can't be a prakriti buddhi. Means a person whose mind is very extrovert, or kind of a gross mind. Yatokta sadhana rahitaha. And a mind that, you know, doesn't have any of the sadhana chadushtaya, doesn't have any of these, being one who doesn't have any of these qualifications. How can that mind, in a sense, the body, mind, sense organs of the jignasu, of the one who is gaining this knowledge, are relinquished. They're relinquished. They're relinquished over to Ishwara. They're recognized as being Ishwara. And the self that I am is completely, absolutely free, right, from the upadis, from the conditioning adjuncts that you've always identified to be yourself. Even the whole concept of birth and death, if you get rid of the concept of birth and death, or you get rid of the concept of change itself, if you get rid of the concept of death, you're getting rid of the concept of time, you know? And so who is the one that is available for that type of recognition? So another problem with that, who really is the one available? Because there is no one else other than the self, other than the Atma. So the Adhishtana, the Atma, is the Adhishtana of this mithya creation. Right? It's the Atma is the clay of the pot. And so now, if we think of the clay pot, and we use this type of thing, this kind of an analogy, if you say the clay swallows whole the pot is just food, and death is just a pickle for the clay. What does it take for the pot to recognize that it is only clay? For the pot to recognize that it is only clay, it becomes totally swallowed by the clay. Right? It's eaten fully by the clay. Your body, mind, sense organs, everything about you is swallowed. It's eaten fully by the Atma. And change itself is just any type of change, birth and death. It's just a pickle. It isn't even anything. There is no really birth and death. See, for the Atma, there is no birth and death or change for that to have any substance whatsoever. And so the death, the whole idea of death, is going to apply to the mithya, body, mind, sense organs creation. So it's not even a thing. The body, mind, sense organs creation also is not a thing. Just like the pot is not a thing apart from the clay, this body, mind, sense organs world is not a thing apart from the Atma. And so in the end, the Atma swallows the whole thing. There's nothing left at all. Death is only a pickle because death isn't even ever there to be experienced in any way, because there is no thing to die, and the Atma is free from time and space. For it to go in through any type of objectification or any type of change whatsoever. So when you think of what this knowledge actually is, It's just a recognition. It's a recognition that is, I am the non-dual Brahman. And in fact, you know, all of the upadis are nothing but that one non-dual Brahman. And any type of change that is experienced belongs to the mitya alone. And so it doesn't have any type of being, really, even for mitya. What's so interesting here in terms of death as a pickle, or just a condiment, when you have a dream, right, the whole dream is mitya. When you wake up from the dream, the whole entire dream has been eaten, right? The whole thing is gone. The whole thing is swallowed. Now, the death, because everybody has died, when the dream wakes up, you would think that everybody has died, but actually, there is no experience of death. Nothing happens. When you wake up from the dream, nothing has happened, because the dream has no being apart from the self. So where does this creation exist? Where do I, as a body, mind, sense organs, exist? I have no being apart from the one non-dual self. So it's not something that can be found. The whole thing resolves itself. The whole creation, in fact, resolves itself into the Satchitatma, into this self. And birth and death become something which is absolutely meaningless as when you wake up from a dream and your body, mind, sense, the body, mind you enjoyed in the dream, all of a sudden is gone. It doesn't exist anymore. And yet, nothing has happened. And so even in relationship to the mitya dream, death is a non-entity. There is no such thing as death. There is no such thing as the experience of death. So that's why death is given kind of a second ranking here. Second ranking in the sense that it says, for whom the one for whom death is a pickle. So the one for whom means the Atma, the one for whom a Brahmana and Kshatriya both becomes simply food, and death becomes a pickle. Who in this manner knows, can know that one in whom all this takes place? It's really a very, very beautiful verse. Swamiji said, I remember when he used to do this verse, he always said that very often at the end of a section, that verse, and in the Bhagavad Gita he used to talk about this also, at the end of any given section or chapter, for instance, the verse tends to be something that's a little out of the ordinary and something that kind of stands alone as something to kind of shake you up a little bit or make you think, like, what is that verse? What is that verse? So this is one of those, the beautiful verse. Just resolves the whole creation, tells you how it is, and why. Why not anybody can just understand this? What type of mind would even be ready to understand something like this? That's the idea. Okay? Okay. Let's stop there at the end of this chapter, and we'll just have some satsang. Let's do our prayer. Swasti prajabhyav paripalayantam nyayena margena mahin maheshaha go brahmane bhyashubhamastu nityam loka samasta sukhino bhavantu kale varshatu parjanyaha prithivi sasya shalini desho yam shobarahitaha Brahmanasantu nirbhayaha Om sarve bhavantu sukhinaha, sarve santu niramayaha, sarve bhadrani pashyantu, ma kaschit dukha bhag bhavet, asato ma sadgamaya, tamaso ma jyotirgamaya, mrityorma amritangamaya. Om Purnamadav Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Arihi Om Shri Gurupyo Namaha. Arihi Om.
So if death is just a pickle, how come we take it so seriously?
We take it, so Joni asks, if death is just a pickle, why do we take it so seriously? Because we... the ahankara, because of the ajnanam, the self-ignorance, is on the part of the mind, right? It's not, the atma has no ignorance, self-ignorance. So it's the body, mind, sense organs that has the self-ignorance, and that self-ignorance is what causes a total identification between the mitya and the satyam, means between the pot and the clay. The pot knows that it can be broken, right? But it doesn't know that the clay is free from the pot. And so my body, mind, sense organs will change, they will die, but there is no experience of death because the body, mind, sense organs are mitya, and the self never dies. Even on the subtle body, there's no experience of death either, but that's also only because the subtle body is not attached to the physical body, for one thing, but on whether subtle body or physical body, both have the non-dual, non-objectifiable self as their very being. So there cannot be a death experience. Mitya has no being of its own. So it can come and go, and whatever it does is fine. It doesn't have any effect on the self at all. And so there is no, even from the standpoint of mitya, there is no death experience. That's why it's only a pickle. But we don't know that. That's why self-knowledge is so important for, even though in a way, I mean, from the standpoint of the Atma, there's no problem. But there's a big problem for all of the jivas, so-called jivas within the creation. So they're the ones that have to get knowledge because they're the ones that are suffering so much. Suffering for nothing. Did you follow what I was saying, Joni?
Oh, yeah.
Good.
I did.
She did.